fire has moved from Mount Sinai. No longer on Mount Sinai, is it? It's inside of us. And that's exciting news. I want to forecast before we go into the message. On the 18th of this month, which will be a week from this coming Friday, there will be a service for Rosh Hashanah, 7 o'clock. There will also be a presentation of God's Day of Atonement on Sunday night at 7 p.m. on the 27th of this month. And October, starting on Friday night, the 2nd, will be the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. October 2, Friday night, starts. Closes, actually, on Sunday night. Kind of neat. Excuse me. Closes on Friday night, the 9th, and finishes on Saturday, but usually we don't gather on Saturday. But if the Lord gives us an extra day, we might end up doing something on that Saturday. But we'll see how the Holy Spirit leads the process of that particular week. I want to make sure that you know that. Be prepared. Be prepared. I can tell you that the days of awe are just between the new year and Yom Kippur. And so please keep that in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit. And I did definitely get the nudge to say to you, consider fasting. Ask the Lord if there's something that you should fast. And ask the Holy Spirit when to start and when to finish. Don't do this because of a head trip. Do it because God says, and He gave you instructions. I couldn't help but obviously be blessed by the priest. Of course, the high priest is Jesus. So you know who He is. You know where He is. You know what He's done. And He's deposited something. Just very, very blessed. Blessed of His mercies and blessed of His grace. And we don't understand. We just don't understand. Just, I guess we're not that smart. That makes sense. And that's not an insult to your intelligence. But Sunday morning, the Lord took me on a trip with you guys. And I'm still in process of doing what God says to do to the best of my ability with His revelation of perfect storm being prepared by God for our nation and for the world. Now, the things that I think what happens is we have a clash between religion and revelation. You know what I'm talking about? So if this creates a storm in the body of Christ, we need to just ask the Holy Spirit to intercede and to release grace to those who are having a hard time. Because what I've seen in the past, in my experience, whenever a new revelation came, or a new opening from God's Holy Spirit, to the saints of God in any community, any group, any church, they went around with a haughty attitude. We got it! And you ain't! Isn't spoken. But you ain't, is it near? Am I making sense? And if ever I see that coming out of anybody's heart here, I will personally give you a little nudge and say, don't you do that. This harms the Lord. And you know that vision of Ruth? Very important. Because you see, she was willing to take care of those who weren't interested. Do you understand what that means? We, as a church, need to be ready to glean whatever God tells us to glean. And then to be ready to take care of whoever is ready to receive. And in need of receiving, and then do it with love. Not with judgmental attitudes. Not with, we've got it and you ain't. Am I making sense? Okay? So, this is not a reprimand. It's a caution yellow light. You know, a yellow light doesn't tell you to stop. It just says, be careful. Approach with caution. Go forward in this season with caution. And as I preceded the service tonight with a little bit of comments about the wonderful gift that God had given us, about knowing that we're in the ark of safety. We are a people set apart by God to do a work that only He has commissioned us to do. And there's a thunder out there. Yes, there's a thunder shaking every single one of those religious thought patterns that have been in place for so long. And that thunder and the lightning is hitting. And it's okay. It's not a bad thing to be hit by thunder and lightning. If it's going to wake you up and make you change. If it's going to awaken you to what God wants from you. Instead of what you think you should have. Anybody relate? See, what you think you should have is all part of the carnal reality of who I am and who you are. But then when God allows a test, don't run from it. Don't try to escape your test. Because I've done that. And you know what the crash program was? Going around the mountain again and again and again. And I'm not interested in going back. So, I'm excited. And I want you to know that God's Holy Spirit is not finished with this house. He's beginning. You say, well, where are all the people? He's waiting for you to be ready. And for me to be ready. That's what He's doing. He's building a strong, powerful foundation. And the pillars have to be in place in order for the crown to be held up. That's your crown, girl. Because the Lord showed me tonight that I was to hold on to that pillar and keep praying for that pillar. Now, I don't know who that pillar is, and I don't care who it is. All I care about is that I did my job. Some pillars are going to be here for a season, and then they'll walk away because they can't take the heat, and it's okay. It gets hot, you know, when the fire hits. But it's okay. Don't judge somebody who can't handle the heat. Pray for them. Got it? Don't start criticizing. It's going to be falling right smack in your face. It's not God. Matthew 7 and Romans 2 verify. You judge, you get it back. You spit in the wind and by golly, get ready for a splat. Okay? Don't do it. Now go to Daniel chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And his mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. Did you hear that? To tell him what he had dreamed. He wasn't going to reveal his dream. And when they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. Isn't that wonderful, sir? When a king decides he wants to know. There's your scripture in Proverbs. Amen? Then the astrologers and answered the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servant the dream, and we will interpret it. Now, isn't that cool? They didn't hear a word he said. The king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your house turned into piles of rubble. Boy, that's a nice little gift. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret for me. Interpret it for me. What's more, they replied, let the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it. Have they got a one-track mind, huh? Then the king answered, I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. Did you hear that one? It's not going to happen. There's no such person available. No king, however, great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing as any of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. Well, I guess their god doesn't live among men. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. That's one way to clean up the place. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Do you think Daniel was part of the crew? Not up until now. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. Did you hear that? He didn't go about with an attitude. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel, and at this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time. Cool. So that he might interpret the dream for him. So he's ready to take on the job, but he knows he needs what? A little grace and time. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from God of heaven, from the God of heaven, concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Remember, Babylon is confusion. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. In a vision. Now, what if he had not ever had a vision before? What if he had never trained his spiritual senses? What if he had only depended on the pastor to get all the things he needed from God? Yeah. He'd be up some fancy creek without a paddle, facing death. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Knowledge to who? The discerning ones. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Isn't that sweet? Verse 24. Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him. Is he acting in faith? Do you think there was a little thinking pattern going around in his head? What if it ain't God? What if you got the vision that's wrong? You're just going to seal your own faith, your friend's faith. But he's not going there with an attitude, is he? He's not even anti the astrologers. He's not going in there with anti-occultic thought patterns, is he? He's willing to save them. Does he know that these are astrologers that are all gung-ho about the occult? And he's willing to save their butt. Are you? Are you willing to give them words of life instead of death? Are you willing to lift them up, to bring them to the life of Christ that's in you? Give them an example. Maybe then they'll change their ways and serve the Most High God. But if you never give them mercy and grace, they'll never know what it tastes like. Are you catching on? Daniel has the Spirit of the Most High God in him. And I could prove that. But here, 25, Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, no. Wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the vision that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. Look at the detail work. Look at the compassion of Daniel and of God. Okay? As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come. And the revealer of mystery showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me. Not because I have great wisdom, or greater wisdom than others living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Do you see that as compassion again? Do you see the laying out of the groundwork that this man is willing to give to the guy who's ready to take his life? You look, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. Baked clay. And there's a secret there, so I'll leave it alone. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind, which is, by the way, the Holy Ghost, swept them away without having a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. That's the church. That's Jesus Christ. Now, if you and I are going to fill the whole earth, it's going to be because we obeyed and trusted the Most High God. Verse 36, this was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. Isn't that cool? He's letting them know your quality, buddy. after you another kingdom will rise, inferior to you, yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay, by the way, baked clay is flesh, under fire, partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it. Even as you saw iron mixed with clay, as the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixed with clay. Are you really listening? It's the people that he's talking about. It's this time slot. The exact time slot that we're actually living in. Verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Nor will it be left to another people. So don't expect somebody else to be able to go through this storm that's coming upon us, because it's not going to happen. It's for us. It is designed for us. So if we try to pawn it off on somebody, or let's say, go to your grave early so somebody else will take the responsibility, I think that's a cop-out. So don't buy it. Do you hear me? Am I making sense? If you and I are going to be empowered by God, like Daniel was, we can make it through this test. And we will make it, and we will help those that are going to be in trouble. We will be a part of the builders of that ark. Amen? That's what we're going to become. And you say, wait a minute. But I guarantee you, if you saw the ark only in its shell stage, you would have said, oh my God, this thing will never ride any water. It's full of holes. But you know what? Our God isn't finished with us yet. Are you catching on? It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. You see, God has to definitely allow turmoil to come in order for the crushing to go forward. And the ungodly confusion has to go. Say, ouch. Because what you and I have been trained in is a kingdom of what? Confusion and bartering and what else? Borrowing. It's not a God. And the kingdom that is to be set up is going to be set up by the Holy Spirit. Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him? All right. But it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron and the bronze, the clay and the silver and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and the interpretation is trustworthy. Watch the fruit. Verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and an incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. Yeah. Now, if the king is able to do this to a prophetic person, do you think that's prophetic for today? You better bet on it. Our God is going to lift up His prophets, and He's going to lift up these men and women of God that have been waiting in the sidelines, waiting to give the word of truth to our nation and all the world. That's what's about to happen. And you say, my God, everything's going wrong. Yeah. What else is new? You're going to be tested until you are pure. You're going to be shaken until everything that needs to be shaken is what? Off of you. That's what he's doing. He's the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the provinces of confusion, while Daniel himself remained in the royal courts. How many are willing to say wow? Amen? See, it's not a problem for God to reveal things. It's not a problem for him to give you something you've never had before. It's not a problem for him to sustain you in the midst of a hardship. All you have to do is declare the word. Believing you have received, it will be done unto you. Mark 11:24. Believing you have received. Believing you have received. So it starts by believing. It starts by declaring. And then when you declare, the God of heaven will fulfill. Look at your neighbor, say, this is an exciting time to live. Because while I'm alive, we're going to be helping in the formation of that great big rock that started off like a pebble, but it will shatter the kingdoms of this world. And the kingdoms of this world will be transformed into the kingdoms of our God. What a prophecy. And now may the anointing of the Holy One of Israel bring you home with this information and give you dreams and visions and words of knowledge to lift you up and to take you where you've never been before.